welcome to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast, where we watch a series of movies all in one day and then discuss them afterwards. My name is John, and joining me this month, we have a return of sorts. We have my brother Dan. Hey, hi. Dan.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, welcome back, man.
The production value has increased a lot.
And then we also have, for the first time, we have Sean. Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Hey, guys. I've heard you never forget your first slice.
Finally, we have Jorge.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back, man.
Glad to be here.
I know. I'm very proud to have the co-founders of the podcast returned at last.
Listen, yeah. A lot of changes.
When I was last here, it was in Dan's room, and it was, like, really shitty. So, this is very nice.
I don't know what you're talking about. I actually get compliments on those early episodes from a lot of people.
And we're taking it back to basics.
To basics. Reboot. This is like
reboot. This is the reimagining.
This is like the band camp of...
I hope not. As was mentioned, this month we did all 8 American Pie films. Quite an undertaking, I have to say. And I actually wanted to, before we just sort of delved in, I wanted to give a little warning up top. Obviously, the podcast itself is explicit, and I'm sure most of our listeners don't really care about that kind of stuff, but I feel like I should just kind of mention that these movies don't really hold back on the super offensive, super misogynistic stuff. So if you're offended by things like that, my apologies, but we're going to sort of talk candidly about everything that happened in the movies.
Can we do a PG version?
It'll be 5 minutes long. It'll take no time. But there are 8 American Pie films. We watched all of them, which include the first movie, American Pie, American Pie 2, American Wedding, and then after that, 4 direct-to-DVD gems, which are presented under the American Pie Presents banner, which included Bandcamp.
The Naked Mile.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
Beta House,
and then The Book of Love. That glorious film. And then finally, everything was capped off with American Reunion. So 8 movies, 13 hours. How you guys feeling?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Did it live up to what very excited to get to do all the pies.
I know. We've been trying to do this for a while, and it finally
met with a lot of resistance. The normal marathon. Which is shocking to me because... it seems like everybody signed up for the Police Academy one.
Yeah, that
seems worse to me. I didn't see it, but I imagine the Police Academy was worse.
Yeah, no, as a survivor of both the Police Academy one and the American Pie one, yeah, the Police Academy one was the worst. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm truly alive as a person now.
Yeah, it's sort of a weird series because it, you know, starts fairly normal. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'd only really seen... the first 2 movies. Like, that's all I had ever seen. I didn't even see Wedding or Reunion or anything. And the series definitely takes a weird turn like halfway through.
I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of unexpected moments. It was just quite odd. But which of these movies had you guys seen? Just like the first couple, or?
I had seen all the theatrical ones except for the most recent one, and then none of the DVD
no directed. No.
Yeah, it was the same way. I'd seen the first 3.
Got it.
Yeah,
I'd seen the first 3, but I did see Book of Love.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
Just for
lucky,
fun.
Lucky you.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I remember just before we started Book of Love, you were like, I cannot believe I'm seeing this movie a second time.
I never
like,
thought I would.
Because you just never thought that would happen.
I'm kind of glad I did now, though.
So I don't know about you guys, but I had sort of fond memories of American Pie. I mean, I always remember it being kind of dumb, but I really enjoyed it in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was the same age as the characters. So when they were graduating, I was graduating, and I liked the movies for, let's toast to that.
Next step, guys.
They're raising glasses now.
There's a lot of nostalgia tied up in it. I liked the movies. I never thought they were particularly funny or good. But for some reason, I just sort of
liked it. Right, it's like dumb fun.
Yeah, except for the third one, which was hard to
dumb
watch.
Not fun. Yeah. Yeah.
I really liked them in high school, but then I remember seeing the third one in maybe college or late high school, and I really remember not liking that. Like, strong. I didn't remember a single thing about it. and rewatching it, like I didn't remember
a single thing.
No, I know. I couldn't believe it.
Not one thing. Of any of the movies?
Do you remember they
got
married?
The third movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember they got married, right. And I kind of remember the end with Stifler's part, but...
It's a forgettable film because Chris Klein is not in it.
Yeah. We learned.
Fuck that movie.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a fairly, honestly, fairly forgettable franchise, really. I mean...
I don't know how it turned out.
I don't know how it got... Yeah, eight is ridiculous. I don't know how it got there. Oh, well. But the first movie we watched was, of course, American Pie, the first one. This bed is on fire with passionate love. The neighbors complain about the noises above.
But she only comes when she's on top. That's the thing. Will you put that song in there?
Oh, of course I will.
But when? Because it was only in the
every movie.
That's the only series
time.
Where it's like it was the promotional campaign music. Like that music was not in the movie. They
and
just
I
did
and
it for the commercial.
Remind me what is the name of that song? Like I've heard it in the commercials. Does anyone even know? Like
I don't know.
Pie.
If only there was some way to find out. No, they started using it in the movies, even in the direct-to-video ones.
Later, yeah.
No, they did, but it's just funny that that's like the theme of the franchise. Like, by the time you get to the movies at the end, it's like they're playing that song in the movie, and it's like signifying everything, but they didn't start playing it in the movie until the third.
Yeah, it wasn't
the first
until
two,
the third
it wasn't
movie.
Even, it wasn't involved at all. It was just like a marketing, whoever cut the trailer picked it or something.
Does marketing guys know more than the...
Yeah, it was actually a better choice than, you know, music. Waggy or whatever. What was this song?
Waggy?
Jorge?
Which one?
What's the Blink-182 song from the first movie?
Oh, yeah, I think it is Waggy, yeah.
Listen, let's talk the soundtrack.
Yeah,
really,
great.
I don't really
care rank the soundtrack.
About the plot. Everybody's seen American Pie. We don't have to...
great soundtrack.
Let's talk about the songs. We got...
So, well, breaking news, just to answer the question, I looked it up, and apparently it's just a song called Laid by Matt Nathanson. I've never heard of it.
I think he played our college once.
Oh god!
I don't know if we saw him.
I think I remember that.
Yeah,
it's probably just that song over and over.
Yeah, hopefully
for an hour.
So there you go.
So okay, what do we got?
They kind of blend together, but
yeah.
What's the song with the when he's running over to Nadia's house?
I think that's Waggy.
No, the Peep Show theme. What's that song? Harvey Danger.
Oh, Harvey
Danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. There's that, and then there's the Blink 182, which is what is Waggy. Is it Waggy?
I don't think so.
She's open waiting for more. Or
I just assume every song was whatever was on Jorge's mixtape.
Yeah. Newfound Glory was in
this. Jorge, this all sounded like you.
Sum 41 in the first.
Sum 41 was not a band really
yet. Twice in the second movie.
No, it was in
It was In Too Deep and Fat Lip.
In Too Deep and Fat Lip were both in.
Well, and then the Hell song was in the three.
Yes.
But am I getting too ahead? Really, we gotta talk about the soundtrack.
Honestly, American Pie is not really known for its stellar soundtrack. Like it's pretty terrible throughout.
What?
And Blink-182 was in the first one.
What are you talking about?
Well,
that's the best part.
Yeah. Well, sure. Well, it's enjoyable as this like weird time capsule of like songs from that time, and we all got a lot of laughs about whenever.
I don't know about all that. I mean, to me, that was the highlight of the first three movies. Was all the flashing back to all those songs.
I'm so sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
It wasn't Chris Klein doing anything.
Well, that's kind of a part of the soundtrack. Because do you believe in magic?
Scooby Dooby Dooby.
Yeah, I have to say Chris Klein is frankly the highlight of the whole series.
He really thickened up that solo.
Oh yeah.
Like we miss Chris Klein so much when he finally left. By movie three, because he's really funny in the first one. I know he's just like some knucklehead who just is clearly an idiot.
I don't know if it's on purpose or not.
I don't think he knows like
it's
how funny he is.
He's trying to be. He's acting.
Yeah,
and he's bad at
I think it's just good casting of like just a dumb high school job.
Now, when was election? Was it before? Or after? It was before, right?
I think it was before.
I think it was like 98.
Well, because from my memory, in election, they were shooting that at his high school. And I think they cast him because they were like shooting there. And I think they had a casting session with just students at that school. So that's how he was like found.
It probably made him laugh. Like,
probably. He probably came in, gave the worst speech you've ever heard.
He is a great auditioner, as we can see from the Mamma Mia.
But without election, we wouldn't have, you know, Charlie Nash from Street Fighter. Think about that. Yeah. Like, without that movie. Which, by the way, I don't know if people have seen Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li, but if you want a good Chris Klein performance film, it's probably one of the tops, to be honest.
Or you could watch the highlights on YouTube.
Yeah, well, no, you got to watch the whole thing. It's the whole movie. That's what's required. But yeah, no, that choir scene. Oh. It's like, yeah, you said it, like Scooby Dooby Dooby, believe in magic, or like that is always makes me laugh. It's just silly.
My favorite part of the choir scene is when they're singing and the bell rings and the choir director says, "That was great. See you later." And then they just leave, like,
no notes, Sean.
No notes, right. Nothing.
Well, it was smoking.
Smoking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be smoking.
That audition was smoking. So what's a better movie, American Pie or Can't Hardly Wait?
Oh, man.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Can't Hardly Wait was first. Yeah. Now, how come that doesn't have 8 movies? Like, what's the difference? Like, why did that
it's
not?
It's a huge...
I think American Pie was, like, a big hit.
It was a bigger hit.
I think Can't Hardly Wait has, like, dignity and, you know, just wants to go out.
Because it didn't gross out. There was no, like, pie fucking in that.
Sure. Which, yeah. I can't remember, Dan, was it you when we were watching the US wondering when Something About Mary came out and if American Pie was sort of influenced by that? Because it seems to be. Like,
totally. I think so. Because it was like the first scene when they come in the beer and then Stifler drinks the beer with the cum in it and it's all about, like, you know, I was like, cum comedy. It kind of, Something About Mary kind of broke down the wall.
The walls.
Cum comedy, yeah.
Finally.
And made it kind of okay to have about the
42 of cum.
Is that the, like, I'm trying to think movies. Of what the absolute grossest thing in the movie is. Is him drinking
American
cum
pie?
Tops or...
Well, it's not fucking the pie. I mean, that's not the...
Right.
I think it's drinking the cum, right? In the beer cup.
In the first
one? Yeah.
The grossest thing?
Right? I mean, what else would there be?
Well, there was... I mean
he takes a shit at school, but that was not that crazy.
Yeah.
That's
and
pretty standard.
Him with the, like, cock sock at the beginning, it's not that gross. Yeah. Like,
I mean, there's uncomfortable stuff to watch.
Sure.
Like the webcam stuff. But
that's probably the biggest thing that people... Like,
right.
Yeah. It's such a sustained, long sequence.
Yeah,
like
it's
he's like
super extended.
Ejaculating and all that stuff. Like, I'm sure that was sort of...
Any scene where he prematurely ejaculates twice
is another running theme in these movies is premature ejaculation. Like,
right,
is this
right,
really... A
Sean,
huge problem.
Sean, like, I hate to tell you, but it's real.
No intervention.
No, I have no fucking idea. It seems ridiculous. Yeah, there's guys literally in later movies. Someone just slides their hand and it just like boom, ejaculate. Like it's kind of stupid.
This is what the teens of the world are dealing with right now, guys.
It's probably just the people that wrote all these movies were like the horniest people on planet Earth, and it just happened to them in real life.
Yeah, I suppose. I think it's just for the joke, like, because it's a humiliating, just stupid moment to like, oh, poor guy.
I don't know. The first movie seems pretty quaint. Compared to the later,
but there's
like
definitely an escalation in the series. Yeah. The shots fired in American Pie 1, do seem a little underplayed compared to later stuff. But I don't know. We were sort of joking as we watched it. That Dan, I think you kept saying like, "Wow, this is actually kind of funny." Like it was getting like some pretty sincere laughs out of us, which sort of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the way that they do the pie fucking was really funny. It's like he comes, the way he's looking at it, and then the next time you see him, he's just full. It actually reminded me of. Do you guys see Girls this season?
Yeah. No, I don't. Girls? I don't watch Girls.
Well, you know, it doesn't really get. Not to give anything away, it's just like there's a jump cut, like there's like a sex jump cut where like two people are talking or they're on something, and then it's a Jorma Taccone or whatever from Lonely Island, and then it just cuts, and he's just like he's fully naked, just like having sex with one of the characters on the show. And then you see, like, there's like a doll staring at them, and they're like, "Why is that looking?" Or whatever. But what's funny about it is that it just jump cuts to it immediately, and they kind of like the same thing in this. It's like he looks at the pie, and then it just cuts, and you just see his ass, and he's just having sex with the pie.
So we have American
Pie
really
to funny.
Thank for Girls.
It's inspired by.
Yeah, Girls kind of like pie. Yeah,
Lena Dunham probably saw American Pie, and
she's very influenced. I bet she did. She probably loves American Pie.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, honestly, I think it's just good timing. Like whoever was cutting the movie had a good enough sense of like how to cut it, and you know the stupid. There's a lot of dumb like music cue jokes of like a lot of porno music, and every time like Stifler's mom shows up.
Well, I don't know. Those are pretty stupid.
Like, no, I'm not throwing it all under like it's hilarious. It's just, it just seems like a technique the film uses quite a lot.
Something I noticed about that first movie is, it's done really awkwardly. Like everybody walks awkwardly. It's like they didn't know how to direct scenes where they had a lot of dialogue, only a short amount of hallway to work with. So you have people like sort of, it was just super weird.
There's that weird shot when they're going to Stifler's like post prom party of the bus pulls in and everyone's just like processional walking calmly.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, that was the first one. It's at the night after prom, the big party at the house on a lake. You know,
I feel like they maybe do that again. I was telling Jorge, this series just seems like a lot of exterior shots of beautiful, like, upper middle class houses.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to take like a place in Michigan, like, where it's, like, not so good. Yeah. Like, so.
Yeah, not really.
And one of my favorite parts of the first movie, which they sort of began to manage later on, was the bro laughing. Like, four or five guys just sitting around shooting the shit, bantering, and then, like, cutaways of people laughing, especially Chris Klein. The forced laughter is amazing.
Oh yeah, he's always,
because they obviously got so like all the laughs is like a separate run. Okay, we got Chris's close up, so let's just run through a bunch of laughs.
Okay, that one was, this one's really funny.
So it's funny to just put them in out of context. It's like, ha-ha! And the pacing was kind of off. Like the joke would land and then you would wait a second and then it cut to them and then, like, he was, the editor knew that he was too dumb to like get the joke right away. Like, he needed a beat.
The laugh did not match the funniness of the joke.
Certainly. I think for me, just watching this movie, it sort of reminded me of, because the first and probably last time I saw it, I was in high school and, proud to say, was a virgin at the time and had like little to no interaction with, you know, ladies. And
proud to say,
yeah, well, that was,
guys,
an ironic
by the end of this podcast.
Let's make a pact
to the next
step.
But just now, as like a fucking married man, like watching this comedy romp, like it just seems so quaint. Like, I remember when I was in high school, I was like, oh man, oh my god, like, oh, she's taking her shirt off and oh, webcam, and
yeah.
Now you just watch it as like an adult and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
you know what's weird is like, I never considered how like fucked up it was that they like recorded her on the webcam until watching it. Like,
I never thought of it. With it.
Yeah, she was cool with it.
Oh yeah, like she never got upset. There, nobody's like parents got involved.
There's a whole tangent movie where like they get arrested.
Oh my god. There's like so many points in these movies where the cops should have gotten involved. Yeah. And it, I counted, there's 3 points where the cops get involved. There's at least 5 per movie.
Well, and there's a few moments where the cops are actually like listening in, or like there's in the second movie they're on the CB radio and they're like totally okay with everything.
Yeah, the cops are fine.
Like, yeah, like, the band camp is like him distributing like Girls Gone Wild porn. Yeah. And like it's just fine.
Well, it's funny that it's just our heroes like come back from it. Like, girls find out that it's like, you were videotaping me, like, in secret. And he's like, okay, but I'll make it up to you in the third act. How does he make it? What?
Right.
Like, you can't.
Well, they have a few pandering scenes with the ladies to try to, they try to have this air of like, oh, yeah, no, we're showing this from both sides. And, like, the women are important, too. And it's like,
for women.
Yeah, but it's, you could see right through it. Like, it's just silly.
None of these movies were written by women.
Definitely not. Like when Shane Elizabeth just being A-okay with the whole thing is so weird. Like, it literally is like a porno fantasy.
I mean,
like,
she is foreign though, so, you know.
Right. I guess
different cultures, John.
Yeah. She's European.
They love being illegally videotaped over there.
Yeah.
So what are the storylines? It's Biggs. They're all trying to have sex, right? That's the main. Yeah. Well, Biggs, we were laughing at that there was no like there needed to be more stakes to that pact. Like, one of the characters even says it, like, the guy's like, guys, we gotta have a pact, we all gotta have sex. And it's like, we've been trying to do that anyway. Like,
he's like, you need a spotter, bro. Like,
yeah, like, it made no sense.
He stands up on a chair and delivers a speech, and that's what's different.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, you're questioning it, but it worked.
You know? they all got laid,
you know?
So, it's Biggs.
He just can't get any girls at all. He's just like a nerd. He can't get anybody. And then you've got the Rookie of the Year, and he's with, he has like,
he's
a
got
committed
Tara
relationship.
Reed. Right, but Tara Reed's like afraid to put
she's
out.
Not ready. She's not
ready. She's
like pressuring her.
Right, because she wants to say, I love you, and then, but he clearly doesn't love her. Right. He just wants to have sex with her.
She's being a huge bummer.
And then
Ox on the lacrosse team. I don't know
is
how
it Oz or Oz?
Oz.
Oh, excuse me, Oz
Striker.
I said
Oz Striker.
Oz Striker. Yes. So I don't know what his problem.
Have you seen him on Sports Field? I mean,
he was great because he played the Billy Bean Moneyball angle. He recognized that there was a market inefficiency with the choir.
Right, choir girls.
And he attacked that, and Wow.
With great success.
Yeah, so he kind of did the sensitive guy. It was one of those things where he's like, I'm going to pretend to be a sensitive guy, but then he realized that's who he really was.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you had Finch, who was like
Finch, who is the weakest character.
Well, he was trying to drum up rumors about... We only get hints of what he was talking about, which was pretty funny. Yeah. He has an enormous cock, like...
A tattoo. He had a love affair with an older woman.
He beat up Stifler, I think. Every now and then they drop another one in there.
Which a lot of that stuff kind of came true. Like, he did have a love affair with Stifler's mom, mm-hmm. which was the rumor. I think the rumor was specifically... Was it specifically Stifler's mom?
No. It was just older woman.
Which is an older woman, which came true. And then it was he beat up Stifler. And then you find out in the second movie that when Jason Biggs separates them, it's like, hey, the last time we had this conversation, like, you had to get stitches.
That's true.
Stifler. Yeah. So,
wait,
like,
are you saying he's like a prophet?
I'm just saying that it might be a little bit of like what came first. You know,
this
like
movie is finely layered.
Magic is might be involved,
but we don't know about the size of his dick. That's kind of in question.
It could be big. I think every one of those rumors came true because he said he got a tattoo, and in American Reunion, he has his scar on his arm. I mean, do you think that
Dan,
the
that was from,
are aware
that was
of
from
all
coffee,
this?
Dan. That was not a scar. It's from coffee.
I'm just saying, a lot of those rumors, they did come true.
Yeah. And then that's you've got strong. Stifler, who's just a fucking
comedy relief.
He's
in
not
the
really one of the main. He becomes one of the main guys by the second movie just because
he's
such
he
a popular
kinda,
character.
From what I remember, he like kind of stole this movie, like the first one. Like, he was sort of this comic relief side guy, and everyone came out of it being like, "It's Stifler, man, he's so funny." Yeah. Like, which he's okay.
Whatever.
I mean, I think Sean William Scott's a pretty funny
he's
guy.
He's funny and likable.
Yeah.
But he's not particularly well written. None of his barbs are.
But this is the movie that made his career. Like, this is big breakout.
Totally. And he was the only one of all those guys to really have a career outside of American Pie. I mean, Chris Klein, but not really, though.
Sure. And then, I mean, Jason Biggs had a couple of movies, but it was all out of, like, American Pie.
Some
related,
kind of, like,
but
reheated
wasn't he
pie,
in, a, like, a Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, and he was in, maybe he was in Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
Right.
His finest moment.
But yeah, you're right.
It didn't help him that movie Loser, which he did, which was his follow-up to Pie, was with the other...
Mina Suvari?
Was with the other girl from American Pie. I mean, it didn't really help. Yeah.
American Pie and American Beauty. She has both Americans covered.
Well, and Loser.
John Cho, we're forgetting.
Oh, that's true. The MILF guy who now is like Sulu in Star Trek.
And he has a better career than all four of those guys.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And he was just the MILF guy.
He made it into the end credits of American Reunion. As like a main character.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I imagine because, at the time they made that movie, I mean...
It was after Harold and Kumar.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Star Trek was either already out or like... So,
No, Star Trek wasn't even close to being out.
Well, when American Reunion came out?
I thought you were talking about American Wedding.
No, he's...
American Reunion.
American Reunion.
Which is last year.
Yeah, I think he's pretty well established at that point.
Fuck you guys. That's like a Matthews joke. I'm filling in for Matthew. Doing Matthew's jokes on
I should mention Matthew was actually going to do this marathon and obviously be on the podcast.
Well, seems like right.
He got hit with work that weekend, so he couldn't make it.
I remember showing him American Pie.
Really?
He never saw it. Were you there? Maybe
I saw it in the theater.
What was his, like, was he against it at first?
No, he just hadn't seen it. He just never watched it. And I was like, I remember, like, I can't remember if we were, college had already started and I was home or, because Matthew and I went to high school together, but I don't know if it was when we were in high school. I don't know. But I remember being like, dude, I don't know why I
had
it.
You gotta see
it. I was like, you haven't seen American Pie? But I don't know.
I
gotta show it to you. And so I watched it. And he's like, yeah, it's okay. I don't know why you're...
He was a wiser man than us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Stifler. Like, I'm like,
well,
that's so funny.
I mean, we're sitting here making fun of it. I remember when it came out and I was in high school, I thought it was like the funniest shit ever. Like, I just loved it.
Yeah.
Still do.
I think Matthew would have really liked the straight to DVD.
Oh, definitely.
Two, though. Two's
Matthew,
good.
You go watch them. Go watch them.
Just go watch Book of Love and maybe the beginning of
Naked
Wait,
Mile.
Is Naked Mile streaming
on
Netflix?
No, only Bandcamp
is streaming. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. All right,
number two.
Did you guys have anything else about the first movie before we go on?
Probably.
Well,
I could sit here and talk about it all
so
day.
Much talk about, you know. Well, don't worry. There's seven more films. Yeah, so obviously the next movie in the series was American Pie 2.
That's one.
Never found out why you left him, but this answer begs that question. Too blind to see tomorrow, too broke to beg or borrow. Young.
Yeah, I think it's the best.
You guys think it's the best one?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
Let's hear the case. Well, why?
I can't defend that at all.
I mean, best soundtrack. Obviously.
Oh, yeah,
best
for
soundtrack.
Sure.
Best so wait, soundtrack. Let's run down the soundtrack. What do we got?
That one's Newfound Glory.
Smooth Criminal.
Uh-huh.
American Hi-Fi.
No, but what song? Sum 41. It was losing. Fat Lip, right?
Fat Lip and In Too Deep.
Does Hash Pipe? Was it Weezer?
Yeah,
Hash by Weezer.
Come on, are you kidding me?
This best is.
Well, soundtrack. It definitely was better music, for sure.
What was the American Hi-Fi song?
Art of Losing.
Oh,
how do you know that?
Wow.
I own this soundtrack. I listened to it a lot.
Really?
I think I did too.
Yeah. There's a Green Day song in there.
Yes.
No. I had the soundtrack too.
There's Stifler's Mom's Vaudevillian Brass.
Mrs. Robinson was in the American Pie 1. Did it come back from
Yes,
Mrs.
it did. Yes. It was a pop punk cover of Mrs. Go. Robinson. That was the end of the movie. The very end has the pop punk mm-hmm. Mrs. Robinson.
Right, when he gets in the car with her. Yeah.
It didn't have any choir stuff, unfortunately.
Well, because Mina Suvari was like pretty much out of the movie.
She was in Europe.
She was in fucking Pasadena, like posing as Europe.
Oh yeah, the whole joke about this movie was that there was no plot.
No conflict at all.
The plot was that him and his friends had been in college, hadn't seen each other a while, and he called Casey Affleck his brother.
Oh, God.
And then he was like, "Yo,
literally phoning
check
it
my
in.
Room, cabin.
Yo, here's what you do."
Yeah.
His eyes were always looking off screen, and like he was clearly reading cue cards.
Who was a worse actor, Casey Affleck or Travis Barker in the Blink-182 cameo?
Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
Sure. Travis Barker was literally very excited.
He wasn't. Yeah. The other two were. Travis Barker was just like, it didn't seem that he knew that they were rolling or anything.
He was rolling.
He brought
money.
Rolling.
It was more of a hidden performance. Like he was
internalizing.
Yeah, exactly.
Jorge, what were the lines from Blink-182? Go Trig Boy. What else did they say?
They had the monkey.
They had a lot of jokes. There was one other joke I can't remember. I just remember Go Trig Boy. It's your birthday.
Well, they definitely said holy shit, right? Because everyone says that. Holy shit.
So was there any cameo in the second one, Blink-182 style?
No,
they didn't get like an even worse man.
They had the guy that was with Blink-182 at some like house party.
Right. And the monkey came back.
But yes. Not Blink-182. They were not in it.
No.
Unfortunately.
Well, so the second movie had even lower stakes than the first movie.
Because they've all been laid. So that's the
plot was, Henry Rowan Gartner is like sad about something, about coming back for summer. And Casey Affleck is like, here's what you got to do. Go to this house.
Yeah.
And that's the plot. That's the plot of the movie.
We should mention he did that in the first movie as well, because the Book of Love is going to pay off later, the Bible or whatever. But like, he keeps calling Casey Affleck for advice.
He's his older brother. Yeah.
And they're just going to have a party at some point, and that's it. There's no real...
And they're like doing construction to pay for this house that they're staying at.
Yeah, they're painting houses.
And then they have like this fucking extended like 45-minute CB radio with the lesbian scene.
Oh, you like that scene?
It was funny. I thought it was really
funny. Yeah, it's like Stifler like thinks they're lesbians, right?
It's paced... You're right. It's like it literally is 45 minutes of the movie. It's
not
so much.
Now, to be fair, I think for all of these movies, we were watching the like unrated versions, which basically means like whatever got cut out gets thrown in. So I'm sure we had like a pretty unfair view.
We're at a point where these setups are it's so obvious what the payoffs are going to be. So the fact that they're taking their time with them makes them even slower.
Right, and for everybody that hasn't seen American Pie 2 in forever, which, what's wrong with you? basically, what happens is are they employed by the two ladies?
Yeah, they're fixing up these two ladies' houses, and Stifler thinks they're lesbians.
He thinks they're lesbians because once they were holding hands across the street.
And, like, giggling.
Yeah, and so Stifler's convinced they're lesbians, so he goes on, like...
He breaks into
their house to confirm if they're lesbians, and then finds a dildo, which he feels is evidence that they're lesbians. Jason Biggs and Finch jump in the house to try to get Stifler out, and then the girls come home. It's kind of like a Rear Window situation.
Right.
They come home,
the part where it gets incredibly realistic is when the girls find these intruders that like look like rapists in their house, and then decide to play a little kissy huggy, like if you straight guys do it, we'll do it to each other game.
Well, it starts off with, oh God, we're going to call the cops. of course.
Yeah.
Right. And then they backtrack on that and they say,
when Stifler says that they're lesbians, they're like, oh, you think, okay.
Which and then one turns worse. To the other and is like, let's have some fun with them. It's like so stupid.
But the real key is once they're done with this sort of tete-a-tete and they make Stifler and Jason Biggs make out with each other, and then Stifler's like, they have to give Stifler hand job sure. to other men, but then they don't want to do it, so then they leave.
And not to mention the whole time they're on walkie-talkies that they were somehow communicating with outside while they were building the house, and then now the entire neighborhood can hear this all happening.
It's on
happening.
CB radio, so like yeah. a so bunch like of different places.
Truckers,
the cops
and
are in on it. They love it.
There's actually kind of a funny guy. The trucker guy is just like, grab his ass, son. He's like, you can do it, and just yeah. saying dumb shit. Like,
and then the guy who's having a barbecue and his kid hears it, and then he like takes it from him
right,
to go
right.
fix it.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna go fix it.
Yeah. Like, then he like ignores quiet. The barbecue.
So every man in this movie funny. Is just on a quest to like jerk off. Man. Like they're one radio frequency away from right. just dropping all plans with their families.
And these two women off. Are like totally fine with broadcasting to the town.
Well, they were
like,
into it.
Well, how did they know? No, they're not seeing the movie we're seeing.
Because you could hear people coming in on the walkie-talkie, being like, come on, do it. Like, okay. like so they know so when, people are when, listening. When
all, they know they're giving a show.
When our heroes run away, then they
continue.
Then turn to the CB radio and then announce that they're just going to like full-on fuck each other.
Oh, there's
then,
a fast food yeah. restaurant that's listening
yes.
in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. It's so good. There it's you go. Done. That's about half
fantastic.
The movie.
Yeah.
You
know, the yeah, other no, half no is joke.
Driving
it,
to
it was
and leaving
30 minutes.
From the lake house.
Well, the rest of the movie is Jason Biggs sneaking over to the band camp to see his
funny,
love.
To get sex tips from
yeah,
Allison Hannigan.
Allison
which
Hannigan.
Is funny.
It's which funny. That I guess that's the sincere thing in this movie is like, oh, he's getting sex tips. He wants to fuck Nadia, and then
Nadia's
he ends
back.
Up falling
she doesn't
in love
care
with.
That his, the video is on the internet. He hit a spy cam in his room.
Right.
She doesn't care. She wants
she's,
to come. She, to
she's
visit
into
him.
It, man. Yeah.
She's into it.
But right. Okay. I remember there's a scene at the band camp where Allison Hannigan like pretty much out of nowhere shoves like a trumpet up Jason Biggs' ass
to make yeah. him comfortable in any situation.
Remember that? And she's yeah. like,
and
here
then
you
a guy
go.
Plays it.
Yeah, and then the guy
Colonel
plays
Sanders
it.
From Spaceballs.
Yes, yeah. that's right. It is that guy. Yeah, glad to see what he's up to these days.
So the big thing that I forgot from American Pie 2 was Jason Biggs gluing his hand to his dick.
Right,
another great scene.
That's like the pie. Like right. moment,
yeah.
Like,
well, he yeah. thinks it's lubricant, yeah. right? And yeah. then he uses like super glue.
But that's the whole plot. That informs the whole plot of why he can't have sex with Nadia right when she arrives. Because
yes.
Nadia comes
well
early.
Well conceived plot.
And his thank you. His yeah. as if I wrote it. And his thank you, Jorge. And his dick isn't healed in time, so he has to wait for his dick to heal so that they start this ruse of like, okay, Allison Hannigan, pretend to be my girlfriend.
Make
so that
jealous.
There's a so it's twofold. It's, yeah. So number one, I don't have to have sex with her because my dick is injured because of the super glue. And then number two, she'll also be jealous because we'll stage this fake breakup and right. then she'll want to have sex with me.
Meanwhile, Tara Reid and Henry Rumgartner are just awkward
that's the
around
worst.
Each other.
Yeah.
Like they're, that's the
because they broke
that plot
up.
Plot
yeah,
right? sucks because it sucked in the first movie yeah. and now it like really sucks.
There was
in the
actually
second movie.
Some conflict in the first movie.
Yeah, you could kind
and
of
now
figure
it's,
out.
Nothing. Well,
I feel like the movie you're supposed to care about the guy and you're supposed to be like, oh, he's a nice guy, like whatever. But
yeah,
there's
him.
This weird subtext in the first movie that he doesn't actually love her. Like, yeah. you know, you don't
Definitely.
Think he does.
Definitely.
You think he's just training it for sex. So that's why you don't care
well,
about
she
any
literally,
of their romance.
Right before they're finally going to have sex, she turns to him and is like, can you say it? And then he does, like, just to fuck her. It's like,
well,
yeah,
but then
I
he says,
it.
But then the movie has you believe, when I said it, I meant
that's
it.
That's fucking
but
right.
But you don't
right.
believe it.
Because he's not struggling with how he feels the entire movie. He's struggling right. with, should I say
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he just wants to.
Which are two entirely different things, guys.
No. Yeah. Come on. To the next step.
Come on. To the next step.
So she has, like, a boyfriend in this movie.
Yeah, Brit. The weirdest Brit. Looking guy in the world.
This, yeah, weird guy. And he's trying to get back with her, and it doesn't work out from my memory.
No.
No, he just learns the lesson that it's better to have her be in his life as a friend other than not in his life at all.
That's right.
We haven't
Which
mentioned...
is that a real lesson? I don't know.
We
it seems like that
character,
the emotional
yet.
Like depth of that character of Henry Rodengardner, would he be able to do that? I mean, I don't think so. You just don't buy it. It's all just like a fallacy.
Yeah.
Like people can be friends with their exes, but can he, this guy who's so like immature, like I don't buy that he could do that.
No, I don't even buy it in the last movie either.
He should have asked Casey Affleck for advice about that.
What if he asked sure. him for advice, but like literally every scene about everything. Like, he just kept like,
just calls him up.
Here's what you do.
Like, just, okay, there's been better.
There's like different advice books in the library about different subjects.
It's like, oh, we gotta pick up this paint to like paint these houses. Like, I don't know. Like, does anybody know directions of how to get to the paint store? Hold on.
Casey.
Okay, cool. Is that time? You're painting the house? Here's what you do. Don't take the highway.
You're ready.
This is a big responsibility you're about
to get. The traffic's too backed up. It's a back road. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
We almost forgot about, frankly, one of my favorite parts of the movie, which is Chris Klein's trying to have phone sex with Mina Suvari.
Yeah.
Which, I don't, there's something about his big, goofy, dumbass face just going, oh yeah, my hand's on my dick. Like, oh, can't wait to, like, it's just ridiculous.
I got a boner.
Sure.
Right?
Well, I maintained a boner throughout the entire thing, like the guy in the Naked Mile.
Seven-hour boner.
Which we'll fucking get to later, the most, like, implausible thing.
The rest of us were just throwing shit at it.
Really, you're hitting ping pong balls with it.
That guy should be a carnival freak.
And then Finch thinks that Stifler's mom is coming, so he's trying to...
And he's, like, hung up on her.
Yeah, and...
And he's studying Tantra.
Yeah, and he's waiting the entire summer to have sex with Stifler's mom.
There's
again.
A scene where he's like watering a ficus plant and he's like talking about how sexual it is and he's going to come on it.
And he almost makes him come because he hasn't ejaculated in months because he wants to save it.
I think Sean William Scott's like, you're not coming on my ficus or some dumb shit. Like... And then it all sort of culminates in just the same old shit. Like, they have the montage of everyone still kind of together. Like, because Mina Suvari finally comes and to visit.
It was no conflict. Oh, their big conflict is that Chris Klein and her want to have phone sex, but people keep interrupting.
Wherever she is, it's like, it's amazing.
Mina Suvari?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, because there's one shot of her outside. Yeah, where is she? In Italy or France?
Spain.
Right.
Oh, because it's her flat.
Yeah.
Her flatmates come home.
Yeah, she drops that. Oh, my flatmates have arrived. Yeah.
Take your balls off you. Me, she says, because he drops
that. Alejandro.
I mean, I guess the big arc is just Jason Biggs getting with Allison Hannigan, and that's sort of like the cherry on top of the movie.
Oh, the big set piece at band camp where he's Petey.
Right.
That's a good
He scene. Poses as like a mentally challenged trumpet player or trombone
they
player.
They assume he's that guy.
Right. And he just comes out. He has to improv.
Everyone in the audience
solo.
Is super into it.
You can do it. Right. They're like trying
Those
to encourage
extras
him.
Nailed it, by the way. The guy is like, come on, give the hand. Give the little guy a hand.
But the part of that I find just ridiculous. Like, it's kind of funny when he's just blah, 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 like fucking around. And then at the end of it, he just goes to the mic and is like, my balls are huge. Like, why the fuck would he say that? Like, why?
Yeah.
Like,
classic American Pie.
Yeah, it's just a funny thing to say.
I suppose. Like,
I'm gonna do that sometime.
But then he gives a look like after he says it, like, oh, whoops. What? Like, yeah. Oh, I went too far. Like, I shouldn't have said it.
He actually is mentally retarded as a character.
Oh, we should talk about Shermanator. We haven't really mentioned him from either movies. And he's in this one too. Because he finally hooks up with Nadia or whatever. Yeah.
The star of the music video of UC Jordan by...
Something Corporate.
Oh, he's in that video?
Oh, yeah. Titular character.
He was sort of a child actor. Like, I remember seeing him in other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Angus.
Wait, Angus? What is it?
He's the other kid from Angus.
Oh, right. Right, I almost forgot
Angus.
That.
Yeah, that's like kind of what most people know him from, right? I mean...
And I think he's in Can't Hardly Wait as well. Like,
yeah,
he's like
he just
a
steals
thief
stuff.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like a running joke. He just keeps stealing shit.
Yeah. He's just sort of that guy that's kind of
in
a few things.
He was in that.
But anything else about American Pie 2 before we move on?
Mm-mm. I just want to toast to the next step.
Yes, yep. To the next step. Indeed.
Because I'm in too deep.
And the next step in our marathon was American Wedding.
I don't ever wanna be you. Don't wanna be just like you. Or what I'm saying is this is the anthem for all your hands up, you. Don't wanna be you.
Kind of not that memorable from...
For me, literally, I didn't remember like a single thing except that they got married.
Oh, so can we talk about how bad it looked?
Yeah. Yeah, it did look kind of weird.
It looked like...
Would you call it American Noir?
Well, there was just harsh shadows on everyone in every scene. It's like they didn't have a fill light. They just threw on.
It looked like traffic, like Steven Spielberg's traffic. Right. Yeah, it was the same yellow filter.
It was the yellowest movie.
It was like they were in Mexico.
And starts out with a bang with Allison Hannigan blowing Jason Biggs in a restaurant right when
he's
about to propose.
Maybe the stupidest opening out of all of them.
What, has anyone ever given their father the engagement ring that you're going to propose with? Like, why was he coming in with
it? Your dad isn't Jim's dad.
I guess
that's true.
Is it like a family ring? Yeah, that's true. We haven't really talked about Eugene Levy at all, but he's the only guy in every one of these movies. Yeah. And as Dan just did, we had this running gag where we like applauded him every time he came on screen, which was like got a little ridiculous, like at least like 50 times that we had to do that. But he's really the godfather of American Pie, if you think, or consigliere, I suppose.
Or what was his official title at Bandcamp?
The Macro.
He's really the macro of American Pie.
Yes, that's true. But yeah, no, he's in all. I guess like why him? Why he? Why is he the guy that
he said
goes
yes.
through this whole thing? Right. I guess that's true. I guess he was obtainable for the direct-to-video. But enough.
Who else could you get to play that? Like the role of? I mean, you could have gotten anybody. Well, you could have gotten Finch to be the guy.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
why they
Finch
always,
would have been.
They could have gotten Sherman. I mean, they got him for Bandcamp.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I feel like Eugene Levy was like one of the more memorable characters from the original ones, right? Well,
yeah, he also has that position of like, I don't know why anyone who hadn't seen the first movie would watch the direct-to-videos, right. But if in theory they hadn't, he sort of was in those memorable scenes with Jason Biggs of like, he fucks the pie and then he's sitting there with his son and like, people who hadn't seen American Pie kind of
when your mind's out there. Right. When you think American Pie, you're thinking Biggs and then dad.
Right,
yeah.
The dad.
Yeah. More than like, these are the four friends.
Yeah, the four friends are barely, you know.
But yeah, so he's bringing the engagement ring to this dinner, and then Allison Hannigan's blowing Jason Biggs, and then that's our beginning.
Yeah.
That really irks me as a viewer of these movies, that Allison Hannigan as like a female character, like her plot for the entire series is like, I like to fuck.
Yeah.
And I have no qualms about anything. And like, that's
when she's struggling with her vows, that's all she can.
Yeah. Think of. Like Eugene Levy has a scene where he's like, oh, why do you love my son? And he's like, but he's like, he's like, you know, why do you love my son? And all she can like say is like, oh, you know, it's great fucking him. And I love fucking guys.
To her,
so we're getting married
to her like soon to be father-in-law. That's what
just
she says.
No love. This purely physical relationship, evidently. And for my memory in this movie, Stifler is like in the whole movie, like every scene,
it's
every
the
moment.
Too much.
Yeah, just wall to wall.
So the plot with Stifler is Allison Hannigan's sister comes into town for the wedding, and Stifler and Finch.
And who plays her sister?
January Jones.
Yes, Mad Men's January Jones.
Doing some fine acting for her.
Yeah, the most smiling she's ever done in anything.
She doesn't look totally dead behind the eyes. But Stifler and Finch are in a competition with her, and they end up sort of switching roles. And Stifler becomes this buttoned-up intellectual, and Finch becomes Stifler, basically.
Yeah,
because she walks off a plane with a book by Descartes. That's kind of the only information you're given about
her.
She's like, I've been reading Descartes. And so then that's why Stifler's like, oh, I have to be a pansy. That's the only why she would want to have sex with me.
Yeah.
But then it turns out she just likes she likes the asshole.
But Stifler is so unbearable in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He took it up to 12.
From my memory,
12.
Yeah, no, it definitely. Like in the earlier movies, he would have funny lines where he'd sort of come in and say something and get a laugh. But in this movie, it's like they all fell flat. And I don't know if it's because we were watching it all fucking day and we were just sort of done with it. I think it's more just like it was written bad and nothing he was saying was that funny.
But I also,
or it's just like he's not really a good main character, and he's basically the main character of the movie. So instead of relying on kind of a side, like anytime you turn the comic relief into like the main plot point, it's just gonna be like, it's like it almost like used him up too much, so we were sick of it.
And we were maybe supposed to be rooting for him, but
I think so. But to be fair, he did have his moments, because I remember there's an extended scene in a gay bar where he has a fucking dance off with this guy called the Bear.
It's pretty funny because Stifler's so insecure that he can't stand the thought of even gay guys not being into him.
Yeah, yeah, he has to show off.
And then it results in the worst dance-off ever filmed.
And why? So wait, let me try to remember. They were there at the gay bar because they needed a dress for Allison
Hannigan. The dressmaker was at the gay bar.
So the fucking groomsmen are helping the bride out for some reason. And
maybe
then
she can't afford it. I don't. Maybe it was like to try to get it for cheaper.
Right.
I think.
But they're there at the gay bar. And then actually that guy, they meet this guy that's nicknamed Bear. And he becomes like a character in the whole fucking movie. Like he's like helping the florist.
He's at the wedding at the end.
Yeah, he arranges their horrible bachelor party that goes on for... You thought that like CB scene was long. Like,
it's even longer.
It's insane. That there's that this antics bad. Of... Yeah, there's these two strippers dressed like a maid and a cop. And there's, and oh, by the way, Fred Willard is in this movie playing Allison Hannigan's father. And
wasted.
This, yeah. Oh,
wasted
totally. He Fred wasn't Willard. Even that funny.
No.
But there's this fucking mini series long scene where it's like they come home and they're trying to hide the bachelor party.
They're trying to have the bachelor party at Jim's house, right? Or
yeah.
At the parents' house. And they think that nobody's going to be there. But
right.
Really, Jim wants to have a dinner with his future mother and father-in-law.
But before they even show up, there's right. like 20 minutes right. of just antics of strippers putting their tits in guys' faces and just doing goofy shit. And
but you know, that could be the extended thing.
It probably has to be.
Because like,
I pray.
Oh man, that was way
long.
Too long.
Yeah, it's like they just left the camera roll and had a big improv session with
right.
these like these strippers. And
then showed us every single scene.
Yeah. And then the family shows up, and there's like a couple of funny things. Like the Bear is dressed like this pirate with these like assless like pants on, and they think he's like a butler. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was funny. When they finally got there, that's when it got good. But the part before where there was just no, you know.
I seem to remember when they opened up the oven and there was a turkey.
Right.
And I feel like that's a Chekhov's gun moment where if you're going to introduce that
right.
into some antics,
right.
then somebody's got to have that turkey on their head at some point.
I love that we're pulling out
happened.
Some big film theory like Chekhov's gun and applying it to American Pie. That's awesome. But you're totally right. Like, don't show things and not use
yeah.
them. I guess even that got cut.
That was, yeah, it was even... the one thing that got cut.
But it's, yeah, it goes on forever. And that was certainly the part in sort of marathon-wise where I was starting to,
yeah.
like, the fatigue was starting to set in.
And that was only three. That's only
yeah.
part of
you
the
look down
three.
That barrel of, like, oh, my God, we have five other movies after that. Come. Like, oh, wow.
It was kind of just when Stifler was eating shit. That was when
oh,
I was the,
yeah.
this is the lowest
His
low.
Truffle, in quotes.
Also,
he because he the dogs eat the wedding ring.
Yeah,
that Stifler is
that he's
is,
in charge
in
of.
Charge of, and so then he has to wait for the dogs to shit it out, and then when they do, he has the shit. He's trying to take it back in the house, but then he gets stopped by the parents-in-law, and then he has to like kind of do this scene of like, "What's behind your back? What are you holding there? Oh, it's a chocolate. I really want to eat it."
Yeah,
and he eats it. So
well,
because
she's about
won't.
To take a bite, and yeah,
she's
so.
Being really pushy
about that
know,
chocolate.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
But what I don't understand, why didn't he just go like, "Oh yeah, there's a bunch of truffles over there.
Yeah,
like, go get one."
Uh-huh.
And then just walk away.
Come on.
Like, yeah, that's a lot of the those pie scenes are like, there's so many avoidable paths that characters could take
so
to not
outs.
Be in trouble.
Yeah.
And then they're almost like just, it's so frustrating. Like just
well,
because
it's
don't
all
do
in
that.
Service. So it's clearly like someone said, okay, he's going to eat shit. That's the joke. And now we're going to reverse engineer
how can we work
the
backwards?
Scenario.
Yeah, backwards. Yeah.
And just get there.
I think we also need to point out that Chris Klein is not in this movie. Tara Reid is not in this movie.
No, there's a lot of people aren't in
yeah.
the movie.
Wait, she's not?
No.
No, Tara Reid's not. And
I don't even know that.
Mina Suvari
is
not in it.
Mina Suvari is
Shermanator,
not
in it.
No Shermanator.
And they don't... See, they make sense of it in Reunion, but like in this movie, from my memory, they don't try to explain
yeah.
why
yeah.
he's not there. Like,
yeah.
there's just
Which
no
is,
mention
yeah,
of
him. I don't get that.
Although, I do... One scene that did kind of get a laugh out of me is later on in the movie, it's like Stifler's running up to this darkened room that he thinks January Jones is in and can't wait to have sex with her, so much so that he just leaps in and gets to it, and it's like her grandmother's
Doesn't
in there.
It's Jim's grandmother.
Yes, yes, yeah. Jim's grandmother. Jim's
That's how
racist
horny
grandmother.
Because Harold, John Cho, he... he's supposed to take care of the grandmother, so and he doesn't want to, and he dumps her in the closet. He just like leaves her in this
right,
linen closet.
Right, turns the lights off.
And then he's like, I got it. I handled
but
it.
But she says nothing.
Yeah,
he doesn't figure out that it's not January Jones.
Yeah. Somehow.
It's kind of funny, but like they open the door. There's a lot of these scenes in American Pie where someone opens the door or something comes down and everyone looks on horrified as you see just this like nastiness.
I mean, it's one of the themes of American Pie, which are like girls are just interchangeable empty vessels to fuck.
Right.
Like it doesn't matter. So just fucking grandma.
Yeah, yeah. Jerry Jones. It's well, all it's the
what,
same.
To me, what's unreal is that every time these scenes happen, the women are always A, totally fine with the banging and in no way like have a problem with it. Like say this actually happens, like a grandmother would just scream out in horror.
Yeah.
And someone as an unknown stranger comes to the room hey, to man. Like fuck them.
She was super horny.
She'd be screaming and stuff like, but no, she's like into
why
it.
Would
they
she
hit
be
the
in,
lights.
Why would she just be in the linen closet without screaming?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Silent.
Yeah.
Silent. Yeah. Like
it's like, well, I'm here.
Because the first thing she says is like, I'll get back to work, Sonny.
Oh, there's a plot point where she gets mad at Allison Hannigan for not being Jewish.
Right.
Right.
She's like, Jewish.
Does that ever pay off? I zoned out a lot.
No, not really. No.
A lot of things happened. Have to break a certain way to get the scenes that they want in the movie. And they're very unapologetic about things happening that way.
I guess you could say that because she got fucked by Stifler, she's like, all right, I'm good now. I'm not so cranky anymore. You know, I guess yeah. That's what the right. reasoning would be.
Sure.
And from my memory, the two other like gross out scenes in this movie were at the beginning. It's like Stifler and Jason Biggs in a dog fuck fest. Like they they whoops a do like drop cake all over each other, and the dogs are licking on them while they look like they're fucking
right
pretty
and
lazy.
The whole party sees it
yeah
pretty bad. And then later there's this running plot of Jason Biggs wants to shave his nuts and like, oh, my dick's gonna look big if I cut off my pubes. And he dumps them out the window and they go into a, like an AC vent
because it's
and,
right below the fan right. in the kitchen. Like why would they have a fan?
It dumps all over the family and on the wedding
and the cake.
It also seems like they know immediately what happened.
Right.
And I would not jump to that conclusion.
I would just be like, what the fuck is venting?
Yeah,
and all. Yeah, they just look up and like, oh, Jim.
Had to be him shaving his pubes. Yeah.
Well, he's outside in the window like,
yeah,
you know, with a towel.
Still,
so.
Yeah. But it takes him like 20 minutes to dump all his pubes out. Yeah. Like,
those were a lot of pubes.
Yeah.
Or how about just the trash can or like a cleaning lady or like why?
So why jump out the window?
Like he just stands there and shaves on a rug. Like it's the worst idea ever.
Yeah, it's
that's Jim.
You know what we missed talking about is that golden shower from the second one.
Oh
that
yeah.
was pretty good.
Right.
Good
yes.
When John Cho pees on Stifler.
Yeah, describe that for the second movie because we should talk about that a little
well,
bit.
Well, it's just that John Cho like really has to go or something, and so
there's a huge line.
Oh yeah, yeah. Stifler's like gonna do this kinky thing with this girl where she's gonna pour champagne all over him. So he's like, close your eyes, I'm gonna pour this champagne on you. And then John Cho's like, I gotta pee up in the balcony, and then he knocks over like a potted plant, which then hits the girl on the head, and then she falls over. So Stifler's got his eyes closed, waiting to be poured champagne all over, but it's just John Cho's pee. But it takes him like so long to realize it's pee. Like well, he's got it in his mouth, and he's saying like, I can taste the bubbles. Ah,
it's
stuff.
An expertly crafted scene.
But he's like, oh, it's so warm, this champagne. Yeah. And like, oh, dumb
what
shit.
We've come to expect from American Pie 2.
Yeah,
the best
I know.
In the franchise.
Yeah. So it was really, it was a lot better than
but he doesn't smell it? Like he didn't smell just piss hitting him? Do you guys have anything else about American Wedding?
Oh, well, Stifler redeems himself and gets the girl, and I was really upset.
Yeah, that's
about
fucked
that.
Up because he just lied to her straight up. Like, just
he comes back and he fixes the flower problem, and January Jones is okay with him. But he just spent like a week just lying to her face, and then
as a like a completely different character.
Yeah, and then she overheard him talking about how much. Oh, this is a plot point that happens all the time where a character is like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get fucked tonight. I'm gonna fucking get laid," and then the girl, who he has finally won over. Overhears him.
And she's like offended. Like, oh.
Yeah, and she's offended for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then she's fine with it.
And
later.
Then she just fucks him anyways.
Yeah. It's well, Sean, it's just real life, you know. That's
women, huh?
This set up totally reasonable expectations from my
wife. I think it's an important thing to bring up because I honestly gotta say, as the series continues, like the first movie kind of rides this, obviously it's a misogynistic movie and all, obviously all sex romps just kind of are, it goes with the territory, so I can sort of forgive some of the dumb shit early on. But as the movies go on and on and on, I like can't help but get like more and more offended at the way like women are portrayed in the movies, like especially in what's coming up, like the direct-to-video ones. Like, it's terrible. And, you know, hey, I guess it comes, you know, you watch American Pie, like, what are you going to expect? But, yeah, like, stuff like that, Sean, like, I don't mind if women are, like, slutty in a sex romp or, you know, we, like, look at their tits or, like, that's understandable. But when they act just, like, insanely not realistically.
And when you just watch it all day, movie after movie, it's so depressing.
Definitely
after
loses
a while.
Its luster. You're like, oh, God. But yeah.
And by depressing, I mean it's depressing because they're not actually like that.
Ew.
Well, so that for a while ended the theatrical movies, the first three. And then this was the part of the marathon where we delved into the direct-to-video American Pie films under the banner American Pie Presents. And the first one was American Pie Presents Bandcamp. Honesty or mystery, tell me I'm not scared anymore. I got no secret purpose, I don't seem obvious to have. Which was pretty fucking bad. Pretty rough.
It was the worst.
All of the movies?
Yes, I think it was the worst. That and
it's
Beta House.
It's that or Beta House. Both of those were really
I'd say
bad.
It's that or American Wedding. I'd say
true.
Band Camp or Wedding.
Yeah,
I guess we should wait to rank them.
Well,
Band Camp was rough.
Band Camp was.
We'll have a post-mortem after all of this is done, and we'll rank.
At no point did Band Camp attempt to make any sense.
Well, but Band Camp, we got to go back. Soundtrack. covers.
Yeah.
Covers.
Tons of covers.
Jimmy World.
So it's like,
but like sound alike covers.
No, they just
like
they use this. It's the song, but they do like what's an example? What was a Jimmy World one? There was Authority song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then they would just like, but it wouldn't be Jimmy World. Sure. It was like a woman singing. Like they would they did covers.
Well, because from my understanding, it's a technique of like when you license a song, you have to pay for the song and you have to pay for the recording.
Yeah, but then they did. And they got like a Snow Patrol song, which, and it was the actual song. So
right. Maybe at that time, Snow Patrol wasn't as well known. They were like, because also all of these movies are distributed by Universal.
Yeah.
And these direct-to-video, a few of them are by Rogue. But I imagine there's a lot of collusion between Universal Music and the Universal like films.
Yeah.
And they probably get a big deep discount on a lot of that shit, which is why they used a ton of it.
So that's why it's got to go way down in ranking, just because they don't have the actual songs. And so much of the Pie movies are like, okay, what Newfound Glory song do they use?
Yes.
I love this
is
angle.
Is SR-71 in the movie? Like, was there a chance to put that song in?
Well,
what did they pick? You know,
where they dropped the ball in songs, they really made up for it in this amazing plot of Stifler's, you know, younger brother being forced by Sherman, who's now a guidance counselor, two years out of college, and he's a guidance counselor.
Well done.
And so they call this guy Stifler still, but I'm assuming it's his younger brother.
It's his younger brother who's in the first American Pie.
Right, he's in the first couple. Like,
but
he's
a different actor.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
But they kind of cast this like look-alike-y kind of guy. Like, he doesn't look
like
he sort of has a Neanderthal like skull, kind of like Sean William Scott, and that's what they're going
and
for.
And he does a lot of the face puckering.
Yeah.
But he's just doing an impression. Sean William Scott, that was a nuanced performance. There was an injured soul.
Sure. I mean, we can safely say, like we were saying, too much Sean William Scott in the third movie was kind of a bad idea. And frankly, to make an entire film with a Stifler-like character as your lead hero.
Who is flat out evil.
He's just a piece of shit.
Well, his whole thing is like he's forced to go to band camp because he ruins the band's performance. And so the Shermanator / guidance counselor thinks it would be like an ironically cruel punishment to make him go to band camp that summer because he doesn't get along with the band geeks.
And as he declares that, they play the knockoff Terminator music and he's like still the Shermanator, even as a guidance counselor issuing his decrees.
But he wants to use it as an opportunity.
He totally got certified.
to start like an entrepreneurial, like Girls Gone Wild kind of right. Well, video series.
It's implied that his brother,
the original Stifler,
now does Girls Gone Wild type movies.
Right, because the movie opens on a fake credit of like Stifler Productions, Girls Gone Wild, and the credit is that Stifler is like the director of this movie, the older brother.
Right.
And so he's like, I'm taking up the family business. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't sound like a prospector, it's essentially what he says.
Right. So then he gets one of the nerds at the band camp played by Hannah Montana's brother to build a robot for him.
Orders a robot.
Oh, he just buys it online.
So his plan is he's like, I hear band camp people are into some freaky shit, so I'm going to buy all this spy gear. And he spends like hundreds of dollars online and brings all the spy equipment with him. And he's going to make a band camp gone wild video.
Yeah.
And that guy from Hannah Montana assists him. Yeah.
He builds it.
Well, he just happens to have this robot conveniently. He's like, oh, look, I made this. Let's use it to spy on girls.
Stifler just makes him, they're roommates, and Stifler just makes him stay in the closet.
Right.
And he does it. He just keeps pushing him in the closet.
That's how friendships are made, Sean. You know, it's...
until he unleashes his robot on
him.
Right.
We should talk about for a moment the counselors at this band camp that are just nothing but hot blonde women. Why is like that? Just is ridiculous, and they're like can't wait to fuck people and taking their shirts off. Yeah, and stuff.
It's weird because like some of them, like you have some of the band people are the cast the way you would think. You know, weird, super like the nerdy, chubby black guy and like the like hip hop Asian kid.
That's exactly what I would think.
But then, I mean, if you're casting,
Jorge's mind's eye of what casting, band camp would
if you're
be.
Casting a band camp movie, excuse me, I think that you would definitely have the big chubby black kid and the hip hop Asian kid.
Are they on a checklist, like chubby black kid check, Asian kid check.
But then the counselors weren't like
to get into the.
There was not even a single nerdy counselor. It was all
they were all just hot chicks.
But Stifler's one of the big things is Stifler doesn't want any of his cool friends to find out because band camp is full of dorks.
Right.
But then you see band camp and it's just like a fucking Playboy party. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, and I would want everyone to know.
I'm not terribly familiar with band camp, but from my understanding in fucking reality, it's just like you go away and you play instruments. This band camp is like full on summer camp in the woods, arrows and like racing and all this just shit that you would never
other
think.
Stuff,
it's just and there's like pool parties
and a foam volleyball game.
You have to be a well rounded individual to be good.
Like, does this exist in any way? Like, I've never been to band camp. I don't know. I just doubt it's real reality.
Well, you know, I actually think it does make sense in the continuity of the storyline because if you think about it, when you go to band camp in American Pie 2,
right?
Jason Biggs masquerades as Petey, the trombone player or whatever. It's band camp's like the way you guys are describing.
Yes.
It's a bunch of nerdy kids. It's not cool kids.
Right.
But if you notice. Who took over the band camp in between those two movies?
Mr. Levinstein.
Mr. Levinstein, who you find out, I don't want to give too much away later down the road, that it
spoiler
might make
alert
sense
for this podcast.
If he turned band camp, think about it. I think it actually makes some sense. He turned it into like a Playboy party.
He infiltrated and turned it around.
Think about it. The Bible, the Book of Love, is also the construction plans of a revamped band camp.
So, Dan, how did he come to be the macro at the band camp?
Well, Jim's dad is the head of band camp because it was supposed to be Allison Hannigan, but... this is according to... It's funny, when you first meet Jim's dad, he launches into this, like... It was funny, because in the third movie, they didn't even explain why Chris Klein wasn't there, but this, he spends, like, literally a minute explaining why he's there. He's like, listen, okay, it was supposed to be Allison Hannigan. She's supposed to be running band camp now, but she can't because...
she's pregnant.
Jim and... Yeah.
Does that check out? That timeline?
Yes.
I would think... Well, they have a... young
the
child.
The kid's like three. He's not really talking, so...
Yeah, I don't know about
they
that.
Do
and they
have
said
a kid,
the mom... That's fine, you know, the mom died 3 years ago, which sounds about the time the baby was born, which means that the baby wouldn't have been born...
Until
after Book of Love, around the same time. So.
Band camp was 05?
It seems...
Their kid in reunion should have been 7 years old.
But...
We will post... the timeline on our website.
Since they are so squeaky clean about everything matching up perfectly except for the age of this kid, I'm thinking They tried once.
Oh. I think so.
I think.
Oh, Dark Turn.
Because it's pregnant.
Dark
they don't
Turn. Hey, how about this?
This led to some of their marital problems.
No. I got it. Who said Bandcamp is happening before the other movies? Oh. What if Book of Love is Bandcamp's like a
final destination?
Book of Love's like a prequel. And so he went and did the Bandcamp after he.
So we have to construct a timeline where Bandcamp falls in. After, well, it'd have to be after Naked Mile and Beta House.
Yes. But in Book of Love,
well,
possibly.
Would it be after?
It would be concurrent.
It could be.
Because if they had their, he says his wife's alive in Book of Love.
Well, no. But then
the baby is like
3 years. He just says, I'm just guessing that the kid's 3. I don't know.
Now, like, kid looked young. He's definitely younger than 7. Infinite.
And we also have.
I want to say they said he was 2.
So the real order, the chronological order.
I got to stop you because then we have the problem of little Stifler.
Right.
Stifler's younger brother.
Well, how old are we saying he is in American Pie 2?
We can massage this to work.
Well, he's like maybe a year older. Because it is. It's a year later.
In the first movie, he's in 6th grade.
Yeah,
probably.
So he's in like 7th grade.
So he's in junior high, 7th grade. So to be a senior in high school would be 4 or 5 more years. So he's probably in school. But then now it gets tricky because the people in school, when he pranks the band camp and the Shermanator sends him... Is that can't be the same
school
as
Shermanator
Book of Love?
Problem
that
also.
Yeah, now it's the Shermanator.
No.
It is
conundrum.
East Great Falls High.
Right, it's the same school, but is the Book of Love school and the Bandcamp school like can those marry? Like you know,
well,
can
Book
you,
of Love. Yeah, you're right because it has to be.
Because now there's all these other people that are at the school during Book of Love time. It doesn't really match, you know.
Well, and also the music is a real key because in Book of Love they're playing Katy Perry, which definitely would put it. After Bandcamp.
No, that's fine because Bandcamp was just made.
No, but we're saying that Bandcamp. We're saying Bandcamp happened after Book of Love in order for this to make sense.
It did.
It doesn't.
It didn't.
Why wouldn't? Just because there's Katy Perry.
Because the music is dated in Bandcamp.
Yeah, because it's a retro thing. Because Bandcamp's a little less cool, so they're a little behind the clock. It works.
Okay.
So, anyways.
Where were we again?
The plot of
it's an unsolvable puzzle.
You gotta map it out. We gotta figure out the
if we do figure it out.
Here's where we left off. My theory is that the one way you could explain why Bandcamp is kind of like sex crazed is because it coincides with Jim's dad taking over, who we know
that makes
was the first person to start writing the Book of Love.
Huh. He started the Naked Mile.
And he was a member of the Beta House fraternity, one of the most notoriously legendary.
He was a consigliere of the Beta House.
So now it makes sense. Why does Bandcamp become like some kind of perverse, Garden of Eden, Exit to Eden kind of situation?
Well, it's weird because part of it, they say that the Bandcamp is like, oh, they're all slizzes. This is going to be crazy. And then the other part of it is like he has to coax it out of them. He like spikes drinks. Then that's what gets them all horny and crazy. So like... It seems sort of ambiguous.
I bet you Shermanator and Jim's dad were like in bed with this idea of getting Stifler to go to band camp.
This is like a conspiracy theory.
Because it's the last stage.
It's like the loose change of American Pie.
It's the last stage in turning band camp into the ultimate Beta House fraternity paradise.
American Pie is a false flag.
So Jim's dad calls up Shermanator and is like, listen, I got a good punishment for you. You got to bring him here because once he's in, he's going to revamp this whole... It's the last step to getting these prudes out.
He's going to illegally videotape all these underage girls.
Damn, were the beanies that they were gluing to Stifler's head part of his grand plan? Is that like...
No,
how's
I
that
mean,
fit?
Well, it was one of those plans that's like, you know, it was kind of like a Cavill level plan where it's just like I'm not gonna like affect it too much.
Right.
I just know that like if you put them in that situation, something will come of it. I don't know exactly how.
American Pie truther.
So in terms of just the actual movie Bandcamp by itself,
right? The one that takes place. Well, maybe we should re-talk about this in a different order. Maybe we should talk about Bandcamp after Book of Love. No, chronologically where it falls.
Do you guys remember that scene where this Art Stifler Jr. Is like fucking an oboe? You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the Asian hip hop kid says that he did it before.
Right. He was joking. Yes, and then he walks in on him. And rather than, you know, like being horrified, like anyone
or making
would be,
fun of him,
and being like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. He literally goes like, damn, son. Yeah. Get that oboe. Like that kind of like, dumb shit. Yeah. Oh. And I remember this part where it's like, I'm assuming they're punching it up or there's not enough comedy or something. Like a normal scene happens and then Stifler just like falls on his dick. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
Like the girl's like sexing him up, walks away. I'm assuming he has like a half a boner.
It's because he's laying out in the sun.
Yeah.
On the dock.
And then he just trips and goes, oh, like, I forgot I had a boner.
Yeah.
And that was like the level of comedy. Whoops.
I was telling Jorge the phrase probably most repeated in these scripts is for some reason.
Sure.
And then like for some reason he falls on the
And this happens for some reason. Totally. And then he plays bagpipes. I remember that.
Yeah, he's really good at them.
Well, yeah, there's this dumb thing of he's like, oh, that was, I had to learn an instrument and it happened to be bagpipes.
This is the most annoying. That's what he said.
And they kind of have this like Stripes-esque, you know, marching band scene stuff where they're competing against, it's like, even though it's a camp with all these people going to the camp, there's different schools competing, like literally like Hogwarts,
right?
With like a scoring system where they're docking points to Gryffindor and stuff. Yeah. Like Stifler's fucking it up, and then it all culminates and they're supposed to like have this big thing, but he, oh, by the way, remember this, he spikes the punch to try to fuck the other team up, but then in the worst like racial profiling ever in a direct-to-video movie, the big black kid, they have sodas arranged by which school. And so one school gets like grape soda and one school gets orange soda. And the black kid's like, man, I want the grape soda. And they like switch them out and then whoops, they all get
poisoned. So some
poisoned.
Screenwriter was like, okay, we should have a scene where like Stifler tries to make it up to them, but it goes awry. So let's have him like spike the bad guy's soda and then like, but and somebody's like, well, yeah, but then someone should have to switch. Why would they switch sodas?
Yeah.
Well, what if it's just like a black kid wants to drink grape soda instead?
And then that's the Asian up. Kid that's acting like a hip-hop gangster is like, yeah, grape soda, son, and like high-fiving him. Like, oh my
God. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
God.
That was pretty bad.
Whoever thought of that?
And that's pretty racist for like, when are we placing this? 2010, 11?
It's actually, it hasn't happened yet. Because
if it's before Reunion and after.
It's after Reunion.
Yeah. Alternate timeline.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing culminates in the...
This is a place we made.
Oh, the girl from... was it Aquamarine is in this, right?
Cecilia.
She's his love... I don't know how she falls for Stifler.
She's the bad guy from Aquamarine. She's the main character. Fishy Cecilia.
Fishy Cecilia, yes.
All Stifler does is antagonize her from the first frame of the movie. He films her naked in the shower.
Yeah.
Then just he pranks her to make her think that she got into this man college that she wants to get into.
And the
she
last
didn't.
And the last shot of them is like them making out.
It's all good.
It's fine.
Girls like assholes, man. What do you want?
He spiked that drink and she puked on the field.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
her shoes.
Yeah.
On, yeah.
He sabotaged their whole contest.
But he has a hero's arc because when they finally go back to high school, he goes back to the band geeks and he's with them. So, you know, all is forgiven, even though he filmed them all having sex and, like, showed it to everybody.
And he knows he deleted them, but do they have any proof
that
he did? Like, could you imagine if someone films you naked? Would you ever be friends with them again?
But... Also,
it was Stifler,
in the school she's trying to go to. So she's trying to get into this like band college or whatever. And then there's a professor who they're trying to impress. And you're saying he crushed her dreams by saying that she had an interview there. And then when she shows up, like, interview, what are you talking about? And then they have this like they put on this band show. But in fact, it works so well that the woman that she was going to have an interview with, it supposedly is like, welcome to college. Yeah. And like shakes her hand.
She's
and,
like, well, this is a first.
And because the bad guy
it's
got
a fucking slam dunk.
So.
Oh, right. They just dropped that in for no reason.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't get like a comeuppance scene. You know, like he gets, you know, fucked by something or, you know, like
maybe
instrument.
They just wanted to keep continuity real quick. Like,
so many instances in this one where the cops should have gotten involved and did not.
Jeez. Did you guys have anything else for band camp before we move on?
To the next step.
To the next step.
To the next step.
All right, well, that's going to do it for part one of the American Pie Cinemarathon. Be sure to check back in soon when we post up part two. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments or would like to suggest future marathons, be sure to email us at cinemarathon@gmail.com. And also, while we were watching American Pie, we live tweeted while we were watching. So if you'd like to check that feed, you can find it on both our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/cinemarathon, and our Twitter feed is at cinemarathonpod. That's cinemarathon P-O-D. And all of this information can be found on our website, which is cinemarathonpodcast.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.